Thank you, thank you. Very good, amen. Some are cold, some are hot. Some are just right. Some are just right. Wasn't that a Goldilocks, right? Goldilocks, that's right. This porridge is too hot. Well, this porridge is just too cold. This porridge is just right. There you go. Amen. Well, good to see each and every one of you again tonight. We are in the book of Ruth, so let's take a copy of God's Word, and we're in chapter 2. And I'll begin reading tonight in verse 4, and we'll read it on through verse about 16 and see what we can do tonight with all of that. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Have you found that this evening? Amen. Joshua judges Ruth. The Word of God reads this. It says, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Amen? All right. Well, we're continuing on in this great book of Ruth. And you'll remember last time we discussed this, we said if we want God to work in our lives and circumstances, if we want Him really to be involved in what we're trying to do as Christians and disciples, you know, and all that stuff, if we want God to work in our lives and circumstances and accomplish His gracious purposes, then there are certain conditions that we must meet. We're not talking about conditions to earn our salvation, but we're talking about conditions to grow in the Lord and to be used of God and things like that. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. These conditions, we said, are illustrated in Ruth's experiences in this chapter. The first one, we covered pretty much all of it. We talked about how we must live by faith in the Lord. That was the balance of chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, what is faith? Anybody? Faith? Okay. Yeah. Anybody else got a 2 cent they want to throw in on there? Believing in things you cannot see. All right. Anybody else? Faith? Trusting. Okay. Anyone else? Faith. It's good. Yeah. Brother, were you quoting Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? Yeah. Okay. Maybe. All right. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Right? Faith. Faith. Right? Secondly, we touched on this and began covering it, but we did not finish it. We said we must live by the grace of God. That's the balance of verses 4 through 16 about the rest of what we read tonight, 4 through 16. We must live by the grace of God. What, grace? Anybody? Grace? I know that's Marco's daughter next door, but grace. Say again. Okay, I like it. Anybody? Anybody else? Grace? Like that? Okay. Unmerited favor? All right, very good. All right. We must live by the grace of God. We ended last time talking about the overruling sovereignty or the overruling providence of God. In other words, when I say sovereignty, providence, God is, God's in, that's it. He's in control, buddy. Who's running the show? God. Yet we still have free will, free choice. That's right. Okay. Sovereignty. We ended last time talking about the overruling sovereignty, the providence of God. The Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz. Remember? I mean, she didn't have an address. She just said, I got to find a field I can glean in, right? Because I am hungry. Yeah. I mean, necessity is the, author of all invention. So there she goes. She goes and finds one to, this one looks good. I guess I'm going to glean here. Well, the Lord led her to that field and then led Boaz to visit his field while Ruth was there. When Boaz arrived at the field, we see from the text that Ruth perhaps might have been resting in the shelter house that this Boaz and these landowners, these wealthy landowners, would provide for their workers. She might have been in that house that he had provided for his workers. Thus, that is where their discussion probably took place, right outside of that tent or house, that shelter. She has got a choice, though. She might have grown weary and gone home to Naomi and missed the whole thing. And he had a choice. He might have chose not to go and visit the workers that day. But God brought them together. Amen? Brought them together. The application is this, and we ended with this, I think, last time. We said when we commit our lives to the Lord, what happens to us happens by way of appointments and not accidents. See, the world calls it fate. Oh, it's just fate. It's coincidence. But we don't call it that, do we? We call it the sovereignty of God. We call it God's leading. We call it the Holy Spirit. We call it that. Amen? Makes sense? Right? Ruth was still a poor widow. She's still an alien in the land. But God was about to create a new relationship that would completely alter her circumstances. Now, I don't think we got to this part, but Bible students and theologians who have a lot more learning and ability or whatever you want to call it, have seen in Boaz, and you've probably heard this before in the past, they've seen in Boaz a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the kinsman redeemer, that's right. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to his bride, the church. So, it's always good to think about, or it's always good for me, hopefully it's good for you, but it's always good for me to rest in the fact that I'm part of the bride of Christ. I mean, Jesus, and we're all going to be given to Jesus as the bride of Christ for all eternity at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, it's a, I guess the older you get, you go to these weddings or you officiate these weddings, and especially good Christian, good Christian sound weddings, where people aren't acting a fool or making a fool of themselves, but there's actually some decorum and some reverence in the service. They're beautiful. Right? I mean, they are a picture of what's going to happen one day with the church. Well, we have this illustration here. We have this illustration of Boaz and Ruth symbolizing the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Think about it. Like Ruth, the lost sinner is outside the covenant family of God. All right? Like Ruth, we have no claim on God's mercy. But what did God do? God took the initiative and provided a way for us to enter his family through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, a really good passage to think about this would be in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. So if you want to turn to Ephesians right quick, we'll look at it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Ephesians chapter 2. It will begin with a very familiar passage that you probably have memorized at one time in your life, or you know it very well. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Do you see it? All right. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Amen? That's a good word on that. Well, as we continue on this evening, we're talking about this Boaz being like a type of Christ, the kinsman redeemer. So as we continue on with that kind of thought and theme, I want us to notice the evidences of God's grace and the way Boaz related to Ruth. Now, they're right there in the text. I mean, they're not earth-shattering things I'm sharing with you, but they're things to think about when we think about God's grace. And God's grace is a good thing. I mean, it is a powerful thing. Amen? And we need to live it, model it, give it best we can. Amen? Number one, Boaz took the initiative. He took the initiative. Then Boaz said to Ruth, right? Who's taking the initiative there? Boaz is. Grace means that God makes the first move to come to our aid. He makes the first move. Not because we deserve anything, but because he loves us and wants us for himself. And because of that, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, it says, "We love because he first loved us. We talk about being lovers of people. Well, if we struggle with being lovers of people, we really need to go back and think about how much we've been loved, right? How much we've been loved. We love because he first loved us. See, God took the initiative in salvation when we were spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, we just got through reading a big chunk of Ephesians, but if you were to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you would find out how spiritually dead we were before salvation, right? God took the initiative in salvation when we were spiritually dead, and we had no strength. We were without strength. Romans chapter 5, 6 speaks of our weakness. Not only were we spiritually dead and without strength, but we were sinners. Romans chapter 5, 8. Romans 5, 6, 5, 8. And God takes this incredible initiative in salvation as we are dead, as we are weak, as we are sinners, and even when we're his enemies as sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He does it all. God does it all. Amen? When we think about this salvation and this grace thing, salvation was not an afterthought of God. Remember, he's sovereign, he's providential, he's omniscient, he knows all, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. What's the third one? Omnipresent, he's everywhere, amen? Salvation was not an afterthought of God, but that which he planned from eternity. And so we have every reason to believe Boaz loved Ruth and therefore took the first steps to meet her needs. So he's heard about Ruth, and now he's seen Ruth, and that's all he needs. He loves Ruth, right? Boaz took the initiative. Number two, we want to notice the evidences of God's grace in the way Boaz related to her. Boaz spoke to Ruth. Again, verse 8, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids." It was he who first spoke to her, for she would not have dared to speak to a man, especially one who was a woman in a foreign land. Especially speaking to the guy who owns it all, right? I mean, there's no way she would have spoken. He would have had to have spoken to her. He literally is the Lord of the harvest. He owns it. He saw that it was planted. He is providing a way for it to be harvested. What right did this widow, did this alien have to address a great man like Boaz? Yet he interrupted his conversation with his foreman to speak to a poor stranger gleaning in his field. I want you to think about this for a moment. For those of us, and I would assume that everybody in here tonight is saved, for those of us that are saved tonight, the greatest of all, God Almighty has spoken to you, the greatest of all. There is none greater. There is none higher. There is none bigger, richer, whatever. There's nothing that can surpass or equal our God. And yet he has spoken to you. If you're saved, and I believe you are tonight, I believe everybody in here is saved tonight. If you're saved tonight, then you have heard from the greatest of all, God Almighty, and he's spoken to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's spoken to you. I mean, think about that for a moment. That's pretty big. That's pretty huge tonight. God has spoken to me. Praise the Lord, we answered. Amen? Yes, God. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I'm in need of salvation. Yes, I receive your Son as my personal Lord and Savior. Yes, I invite you in to be my personal Lord and Savior. Yes, I seek to ask forgiveness for my sins. I mean, we answered, amen? That's good stuff, right? The Word of God reads in Hebrews chapter 1 again. We were in Hebrews what? What were we in? Hebrews 11:1, Jeremiah, we were talking about Faith. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says here, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Spoken to us by His Son. In spite of all that the world of sinners has done to the Lord, you know, I mean, wow, a lot of sin in the world. A lot of sin has been in the world. A lot of sin will continue in the world. A lot of sinners in the world were just simply sinners saved by grace tonight. But in spite of all that a world of sinners has done to the Lord, He still speaks to sinners in His grace and in His love and in His mercy. He not only speaks the word of salvation, but He also gives us the guidance we need for everyday life. For everyday life. God's still speaking. Speaks through His word. Speaks through your inner man, the Holy Spirit that's in you, speaking through your inner man to you, right? He not only speaks the word of salvation, but He also gives us the guidance we need for everyday life. Just as Boaz instructed Ruth, so the Lord also shares His word of wisdom to direct our daily lives. He is the Lord of the harvest. Matthew 9:38 says, literally calls Jesus the Lord of the harvest. And what does He do as the Lord of the harvest? He assigns us a spot. You're gleaning here. And you're gleaning over there. And you're over here on the water jars. And you're over here, you're the guy that says, when everybody gets to that end, they need to come back to this end. You're the come on back guy, right? Everybody, every gal, every guy gets a job, amen, in the harvest, right? He assigns us to our place in His field. We're talking about evidences of God's grace in the way Boaz related to Ruth. Boaz spoke to Ruth. Boaz took the initiative. Thirdly, Boaz promised to protect Ruth and provide for her needs. He promised to protect Ruth and provide for her needs. Ruth chapter 2, verse 9. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. And then if we can look at verses 14 through 16. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and he had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, not the leftovers. She gets to glean in the good stuff, right? In the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Now, naturally, they would drop a little in the process of harvesting the grain. But he's telling them, you know, you're going to drop some, and then you're going to drop a little more. You know? You're going to help the sister out, amen? Just make it where she's got a path to having sustenance, amen? Boaz promised to protect her and provide for her needs. Boaz called Ruth, he calls her my daughter in verse 8. Certainly she was younger than he, but it was also a term of endearment. He would treat her like a member of his family. I don't know if you remember the story. I'll try to remember some of it. And you can read about it if you want to read it. Yeah, we could probably go there and read some. We'll keep going. David, remember the story of Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, right? Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 9. David welcomes Mephibosheth. And isn't Mephibosheth, he's crippled, right? Yeah. And he's a son of, who's he a son of? Yeah. And really, by all rights, David could what? Have him done away with. But what does he do? David provides for him. David makes a place for him. And even at David's dinner table, Mephibosheth has a place, right? And so what Boaz did for Ruth is what David literally did for Mephibosheth. That's a hard word to say, isn't it? Yeah. I've never known anybody to name their child Mephibosheth. I guess you could call him. I don't know what you would call him for short. Meph. Anyway, all right. We digress. Mephibosheth, a great, great biblical name, but not used much. Anybody know anybody named Mephibosheth? No, I've never. All right, moving on. Boaz instructed his young men to protect her and the young women to work with her. She was to talk with the female servants who followed immediately after the reapers. In other words, Ruth had first chance at the best of the gleanings. Boaz even instructed his workers to allow her to glean among the sheaves and told them to deliberately do what? Drop some of the harvest so she could pick it up. If she was hungry or thirsty, then she could refresh herself with his workers. In fact, Boaz ate with her and personally handed her the food, verses 14 through 16. So as we think about the evidences of God's grace and the way Boaz related to Ruth, the story here in chapter 2 is simply another picture of God's grace. Here in the Old Testament, it's just simply another picture of God's grace. The master became like the servants that he might show his love to a foreigner. Ruth had no idea that Boaz had commanded his workers to be generous to her, but she believed his word and found that her needs were met. Amen? So Jesus Christ, he came to this earth as a servant. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, right? He came as a servant that he might save us and make us a part of his family. Didn't we sing about that tonight? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen? He has shared with us the riches of his mercy and love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He has shared with us the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. He has shared with us the riches of his wisdom and knowledge. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. He has shared with us his riches in glory. Philippians 4, 19. And he's even shared with us his unsearchable riches. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. We, the undeserving foreigners, are members of the family of God and have all of his inheritance at our disposal. Now, I'm not going to give you all of them tonight, but I am going to give you one more when we think about the evidences of God's grace and the way Boaz related to Ruth. And the fourth one tonight is Boaz, he encouraged Ruth, verses 10 through 13. He encouraged her. Then she fell on her face, verse 10, bowing to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know." Verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." What was Ruth's response? Ruth's response to Boaz was one of humility and gratitude. Humility and gratitude. I mean, she is really humble and she is really gracious in her gratitude. Number one, she acknowledged her own unworthiness and accepted his grace. Number two, she believed his promises and rejoiced in them. Number three, there was no need for Ruth to worry, for the wealthy Lord of the harvest would care for her and Naomi. Now, did she have to work? Yeah, she had to work. She wanted to eat, got to work. She worked, right? But is she being cared for? Absolutely. Is she being blessed? You better believe it. So, what is the application for us thus far? Number one, Ruth, are you ready for this? Ruth neither looked back at her tragic past, nor did she look at herself and consider her sorry plight. She didn't sit and stew, and she didn't look back and cry. Number two, she fell at the feet of the master and submitted herself to him. All right? She didn't look back at her tragic past, nor did she look at herself and consider her sorry plight. Who had done that? Naomi had done that. But Naomi was going to come full circle. It's all going to be good. Number two, she fell at the feet of the master and submitted herself to him. Number three, she looked away from her poverty and focused on his riches. She looked away at her from her poverty and focused on his riches. And number four, she forgot her fears and rested on his promises. She forgot her fears and rested on his promises. Now, you know, I mean, golly, man, if this is Sunday morning and, you know, we got a crowd full of folks here and the choir sang and, you know, it's Sunday morning, that'll preach right there. I mean, I get wound up about that. I can stomp my foot and shout and carry on. I mean, she forgot her fears and rested on his promises. What an example for God's people today to follow. Amen? What a good godly example for us to follow. Now, I want to be sensitive here. Because just because you may not be struggling tonight doesn't mean that your neighbor's not struggling. But let me make an observation. Could it be that the miserable in the church today, those that are miserable in the church, could it be that the miserable, I'm just hypothetical, could it be that the miserable in the church today are miserable? You know, you meet those people and they're always searching for something more. They're always looking for something more. Because, could it be, because they do not obey the admonition of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Back to Hebrews, Jeremiah. We began in Hebrews. Looks like we're ending there, brother. Hebrews 12, 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. But this will get you trouble. This will get you in trouble and will cause you some misery. Spending too much time looking at themselves. Spending too much time looking at their circumstances. Spending too much time looking at other people. When they spend too much time doing that, they fail to do what Ruth did. What did Ruth do? Ruth centered her attention on the master. Who was the master? Well, he was Boaz, kinsman redeemer, the Lord of the harvest. Instead of resting in his perfections, folks that tend to be miserable, instead of resting on his perfections, they focus on their own imperfections. Instead of seeing his spiritual riches, they complain about their bankruptcy. Now, not to offend, but just to get us to think. And we'll come back and ask it a different way here in a second. People that tend to be miserable in the church, they go to church to get their needs met. They go to church to get their needs met instead of going to church to worship the God who is greater than any need they could ever have. You see the perspective there? It's just a nuance, but it makes everything in the mind. Now, let me ask this another way. When or where in the church do we get our needs met? When or where in the church do we get our needs met? Because people do have needs. When or where? Have you ever thought about that? When or where do we get our needs met? In our prayers? When or where do we get our needs met? Because we do. At the food pantry, amen? Oh, Brother Jeremiah, I'll tell you what, man. You're all right, brother. We do. We have physical needs, amen? Yeah. May I suggest? Huh? Yes, fellowship. That's where I'm heading, Brother Lee. May I make the suggestion? I think it's, I think it fleshes out pretty good in Scripture. I don't have a lot of verses to share with you, but just 25 plus years of experience, I think. 26? I don't know. Long time. you'll enjoy worship more. You will enjoy. Worship will be for you what it is intended to be if you find yourself in a regular small group. Sunday school, Bible study. That's a good time to share needs, hurts, wants, concerns, problems, pain. That's a great time for that. I see it sometimes in people's faces. I see it sometimes in their demeanor, in their just in their eyes. I see it sometimes. Not trying to drag them through the mud. I've just seen it through the years. They, for whatever reason, there's no small group, there's no Sunday school, there's no Bible study, no fellowship, and so when they come to church, it's all needs based for them. It's all needs based. There's no heart of worship, right? There's no heart of worship. It's all needs based. Yeah, brother. Yeah, amen, brother. So, my people. There you go. Yeah.
We're starving. I'm going on faith.
Yeah.
That I'm going to go to these fields and do work.
Amen. Amen. She found a good food pantry. She found a good food pantry. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Understanding that she was a farmer, she wasn't going to get
flooded,
she was going
to be harassed.
She's done. He's granted assisting her. And I like your bringing Christ into that.
Oh, yeah. Kinsman Redeemer. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But she wasn't sitting on her rear end.
No.
About it.
Right.
And your God is not taking care of him.
Right.
She went on faith and got out of the house and went down the road to work.
Amen.
You know, we're starving.
Amen. Amen. So, we do have needs. Needs can be met in fellowship. Needs can be met in small groups. Needs can be met one-on-one stuff. if we don't have that venue, if we don't have that outlet, then we will put on the worship service, we'll put on that what we didn't get. Does that make sense? We'll put on, yeah. And so then instead of coming to worship God Almighty, there you go, yeah. Yeah, which is, amen. I think that's good. Good, good, good. All right, kids, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a time of prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace, and this grace that we got to discuss tonight in the story of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer Boaz. And, Lord, we will continue on with that theme, not next Wednesday, for we'll be in revival, and we pray for that. But, Lord, it'll be a week from next Wednesday, we'll get back into this study. But Lord, we pray that you be with us and lead us and guide us in this time of prayer. May we just be, Lord, may we be your vessel as your Holy Spirit just resonates through us as we pray these prayers back to you, Lord, and they're handed back up to the Father. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray and for the ability to do it, for the power in it, and for what you're going to do. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord, and thank you for allowing us to be in it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, prayer requests. Yeah, Jeremiah.
I found out yesterday that I have a job interview middle of next month for the server team at systems office. So I pray the Lord's perfect will be done in that situation.
Well, dude, you just got promoted. What are you getting promoted again?
Well, I applied for three jobs simultaneously, and one of them was already filled, and the other one I got, which I'm working now, and then I just found out yesterday that they want to interview me for this third one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that closer back to home or further away?
Oh, yeah. It's the drive will be a lot less expensive. I'm having a wonderful time with the team where I'm at now, but so that's why, I pray God's perfect will be done wherever I'm supposed to go, that's where he has me to
okay.
be.
Okay. And when is your interview?
Middle of next month.
Okay. August?
Yeah. Let's see here. August 14th comes to mind. Yeah, August 14th. I think at 11 a.m. August 14th, 11 a.m. Okay. Yeah, Wednesday, 11 a.m.
All right, man. Very good. All right, Paul and Pat are getting ready to...
Wear my church clothes.
Wear your church clothes. That's right.
That's right.
Paul and Pat are getting ready to vacay and travel the country. How far are y'all going? Oh, wow.
And parts in between.
Niagara. Have y'all been to Niagara before?
No, we're not going.
Have you? Oh, you've never seen Niagara?
No, I've only been asking
it
for 4 years to take me there,
so now we're going. Niagara Falls. They're not going in the barrel. Oh, my soul.
So 13,000
street rides. Wow.
Yes.
Pull
it.
All right. Outstanding. Yeah, take lots of pictures. Amen. What else? Prayer requests.